This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with a group of local women who are each in their own way contributing to making the impending Women's March a truly historic event. So now, let's go inside the Compass. So here's the power of the social media. On the evening of November 8th, when it became apparent that a man who had boasted of committing sexual assault and who had vowed to nominate Supreme Court justices with the specific intention of reversing gains for the rights of women would be elected the next president of the United States, a retired lawyer and grandmother in Hawaii named Teresa Shook suggested on Facebook that women should protest his inauguration. By the next morning, she had received some 10,000 positive responses, and today, just a little more than 2 months later, the impending Million Women March, now just called the Women's March with an X instead of the E in women, is shaping up to be one of the largest mass protests ever. Some 200 sponsoring organizations have added causes ranging from the environment to immigrant voting and prisoner rights to health care and racial and gender equality to the mix. Synchronous marches are now planned for January 21st, the day after the inauguration, in some 30 nations, along with many cities and towns across the U.S., including Seattle and now Port Townsend. The idea for a separate Port Townsend march arose when several local activists realized that for various health-related reasons they would not be able to go to either Washington or even Seattle. Having heard from KPTZ producer Marcia Pearlstein that there would be an organizing meeting for the marches at Pippa's Real Tea last Friday afternoon, I went over to find Marcia and PT March organizer Amelia D'Souza sitting at a back table. We were soon joined by KPTZ contributor Sheila Kalov, who is planning KPTZ coverage of the Seattle March, and Nature Now producer Nan Evans, who will be in Washington for the main event. I asked D'Souza how the idea for the Port Townsend March came about.
The march came up as an idea one day when I got an email about the Seattle March, and I said, well, why doesn't Port Townsend have a march of their own? And that was about the same time when Debbie Steele fired up the buses going to Seattle. So then I kept on with the idea, and I got kind of a little discouraged, but then I just kept on going. I filled out the permit, sent that to Sergeant Serber, and then the parade, our march, will gather around 9:30, assemble around 9:30 behind the Nifty 50s across the street from the City Hall. Then at 10 o'clock, same time as Seattle time, we'll march to Haller Fountain. And then we'll end up there, and then people want to speak or speak their mind or whatever, and then we'll depart.
A small rally, yeah. Kind of like Orlando.
Yeah.
And I'm Marcia Pearlstein, Steve, and you and I are doing this gig together, but I want to say a little piece about why we're so appreciative of Amelia for organizing the Port Townsend March, because many of us, our hearts were in Washington and in Seattle, but our bodies weren't willing. So I wrote a small poem for all those, and I want to reach out to everybody who thinks you can't do a big march, but you can come any way you want. You can come in your wheelchairs, your walkers, be at the end point of the rally, at the beginning point of the rally. And that's what I discovered after I had a lot of despondency. So here goes. Armchair activist gladly passing the baton. How I adore people who care. Marching for social justice, a need we all share. Youth March for Integrated Schools, my first time to D.C. in 59. We held hands, sang our hearts out, organized many a picket line. 2017, health issues dictate I can't be there. For a long time, I felt deep despair. But now, from D.C. to Seattle and countless cities everywhere, with hearts and smarts and ability to show how much they truly care, multitudes gather while I am vicariously there. Sisters and brothers, all are truly everywhere. I'm so proud that Port Townsend is joining the day. We'll participate in our unique Port Townsend way. Some of us at home, others farther afield. Though a small village, massive energy, together we wield. Each, as we are able, address racism, greed, and corruption. No stone unturned, trying to prevent democracy's abduction. While I continue kvetching, kindred spirits are stretching. My peers side by side with the next generation, mobilized to express our intense frustration. As far away as I may seem, my gratitude to you all for fighting for our shared dream. And right here is Sheila Kalav, who actually was the first person in Port Townsend from KPTZ to spark KPTZ's participation, and she'll tell you about her Seattle plan.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
So, what is the Seattle plan?
Well, what we are planning on doing on Saturday, January the 21st, from 2 to 3 o'clock, is to do a live feed that hour from the march in Seattle to KPTZ. It'll be during the time of Ellen Bongiorno's Sing It Sisters pre-recorded music show. And Tim Quackenbush will be our engineer. We'll start up with Ellen's program, and then we will cut in about 3 to 5 times. And Ellen and I will be in Seattle interviewing people, giving reports, giving background and things like that for that hour. We want to do this. Well, it started because we didn't know that there was going to be a Port Townsend March. And so we wanted to do it for those people who couldn't, or for whatever reason, be in Seattle. And we wanted to make this something for everyone to be involved with. And the fact that they could join us via KPTZ radio for that hour. And that's how it came up. The march in Seattle will start at, the gathering will start at 10 o'clock. The march itself will start at 11 from Judkins Park in Seattle. It's at 2150 South Norman Street, and it will end at the Seattle Center.
Is there going to be a sort of a rally at the Seattle Center?
There'll be a rally at Judkins and some speechifying, and there will be a rally at the end. The march itself will be silent until people get to Seattle Center, and then all hell will break loose.
Then the chanting will begin.
And then everything will begin.
I see.
Yes, yes. And it's also my understanding that there will be people speaking along the route from Judkins Park to the Seattle Center.
During the otherwise silent march.
During the otherwise silent march is my understanding.
Who are the lead organizers of the Seattle March? I mean, who is sort of like taking the leadership role for that?
You know, I don't know. There are a number of women who have many different roles in the Seattle March, and
Debbie Steele is one good contact.
She's organizing the Port Townsend contingent going to Seattle, right?
One of it.
I see.
The bus contingent. She, Debbie Steele, is organizing the bus contingent, and Anita Edwards is organizing the ride-sharing contingent. And right now what we know is that Debbie Steele has rented 4 buses for 190 people to go down to the march. It's just absolutely
Will you be on one of those buses
yourself? No, I'm going to be carpooling, yes. And if anyone needs to carpool or has room in their car, what they should do is to email is to email Anita at Anita at Carapace, C-A-R-A-P-C-E dot M-E.
C-A-R-A-P-A-C-E
at dot M-E. Anita at Carapace dot M-E. I think, I hope. I may have to get back with you on that. I may have to email and ask her how long she'll be able to have that available for people. There is a cutoff.
And indeed, Sheila did later contact me with that information. The cutoff date for carpool organizing at the anita@carapace.me email address is Tuesday, January 17th, although there will be a casual pickup carpool opportunity for the Seattle March at the Haines Street Park and Ride at 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. So if you're looking for a ride or willing to offer one, that's the place and time to show up. Here's Marshall Pearlstein again.
I'm very excited about our brothers that are joining us in marching and in the whole spirit, and certainly at KPTZ, everybody's come together to support us. They are the polar opposite of the folks that we're marching against, but it's not so much against the bullies. It's more the empowerment of women, and these men are not threatened. Our poor Townsend men are not threatened by powerful women. They stand beside us. So I just want to thank all of them.
All right. Well, I see we've been joined now by Nan Evans, also, who I heard earlier today on Tossed Salad.
Nan. Yeah. Hi, I'm Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, come
and I call
here.
Nan the third arm of our KPTZ coverage, and because she's going to be in Washington, so take it away, Nan.
Okay. So are you going to be streaming from Washington?
No, we're going to be, I'm taking my handy-dandy field recorder, and we are recording the reactions and impressions of folks in the Port Townsend contingent who are going on the march.
So, as I said, I was listening earlier today as you were talking to Phil Andrus mm-hmm. about this, and it was quite an interesting show, and there was one of the things I was curious about was this rule that, you know, like you're not allowed to carry signs on sticks.
Yeah, the permits that are being issued for the marchers are very restrictive about what you can carry in the march area. You cannot carry signs on sticks. You cannot carry flags on a stick. You can't even have balloons. And you also cannot have backpacks. You have to carry whatever you're carrying has to fit in it's a very small, size-limited pack that's transparent.
Oh, so like, I see Fred is holding up a little plastic bag here.
About the size of it.
Wow.
And it's quite restricted. I'm sure it's...
Who set these rules? Is this the Washington Police?
Well, it's a multi-agency task force that gets together and does the permits for this. So I assume it's either the police or the National Park Service. They're essentially the same restrictions that are in place for the day before for the inauguration.
I see. So they're just being hyper secure. They're making sure people don't whack each other over the heads with sticks, I guess.
That's my best hope. I think there is a concern that it really does infringe on people's perhaps free speech rights and will limit to some extent the ability of some people to participate, particularly those who require carrying for medical or other reasons more stuff than you can fit in a clear cellophane baggie.
So maybe you could reiterate for us how you arrived at your decision that you had to be a participant in this march.
Well, I heard about the march fairly early. At the time, it had some kind of a name, like the Million Women's March or something. It was quite early in the development of the march. And it did take me long to go, I need to go. I I'm not a marchy kind of person. I did not do a lot of that in my growing upness.
You're not one of those professional protesters that the Republicans keep complaining about.
I am certainly not a professional protester. In fact, I entertain myself that I'm actually committed to doing this because it's not the me I sometimes think of who I am. But initially, it was because I found the behavior of the president-elect and his cronies so offensive towards women, towards people of color, towards people with disabilities. And I couldn't condone the normalizing of that kind of speech and behavior at the highest levels in our society. So that's initially what sort of drove me to stand up. And that, I think, as I was talking with Phil earlier today, that has evolved to from the I don't like the behavior to I'm going to stand for really positive things, which of course I do. You know, I stand for diversity. You know, I stand for respect for all, to almost resistance, and now to firmly to protest. And I think that's clearly a function of what's happened in the last month and a half or two, as we've seen what it's going to mean to have this particular administration in place.
So it's clear to me that what's being protested here is actually not so much Donald Trump as all of the people who put him into office, in a way. I mean, it's a kind of a broad attitude in the culture.
I don't think of it at all as narrowed to a protest of Donald Trump. I'm surely he's part of it. I also don't think of it as a protest against people who voted for him. I'd actually like to better understand those people. And I would actually love to have a conversation here in Jefferson County between the third of the population that voted for Trump and the two-thirds that didn't, to sort of begin to build some kind of bridges across a really divided nation. And we have that division here in Jefferson County. I think it's more a protest against behavior and policies.
So, well, all right, so we have three people here who've each decided to go to a different forum. You know, so, Amelia, I mean, what made you decide you were going to stay home in Port Townsend?
I had knee operation here on November the 3rd, and about 5 days after that, we had the election, and then I went through, you know, all the processes of the hospitalization and everything, and then it all struck me right on the back of the head that half of the population in the United States hates me because I'm transgender, and I wear a target on my back. And it hit me so hard that I went through all kinds of, I was sick for almost 2 weeks, and I couldn't figure out why I was sick. And then I realized that I was under so much stress, and you know, everywhere I go now, you know, I got this target. And it's interesting because I was watching a documentary on HBO, Trans List, and there's this one army guy on there, and he's trans man, and he has more muscle on his body than The Rock. And you probably know who The Rock is. And he said that I made a commitment, and everybody makes this commitment when they go into service. They swear to God and country that they'll lay their lives down if they're called upon to do that. And he felt as if some kind of a bad feeling about that, because he's going to lay his life down for those people that hate him also. And he said, well, what can you do about it? He said, well, you protect them all. But, you know, it was interesting when he said that. And it hit me so hard in realizing that. And it tore right through me, such a heavy, heavy knife. And I was hurt because I loved the Navy, and I was in the submarine service, and I had a tremendous career in there. But, you know, when I realized that we're talking about racism, we're talking about, you know, genderism, we're talking about all these different aspects that are going on right now, And we're realizing now that it's alive and well and strong in everybody. And it just depends at what level it comes out. But racism is everywhere. And I just felt like I had to do something. So when Seattle came up with their march, I said, well, why don't we have a march here in Port Townsend? Because Port Townsend is leading the peninsula on equality. Jefferson Healthcare now is the third year on the Healthcare Equality Index, and that's a real stringent program that they go through a certification with the Human Rights Campaign. The city is on the Municipal Equality Index, and that's another a system that they have to go through and check in all the policies and procedures. And we have now, we've celebrated the second year on our transgender support group. The entire police department and the fire department have been through LGBTQ 101.
Really?
And that was my instigation, my little project there. And then on the 19th, I will be presenting to the city a proposal for them to declare Port Townsend a human rights city. Because that's what we are. We stand here for human rights. And I believe that by standing here, that we're also standing at Standing Rock. This is another example of standing up. So women, we need to stand up and march.
Yes.
And I want to say, echo what Nan said. We're for something, not against. We're building something. And it brings me back to the spirit of the old original civil rights marches. We really stand together, and we're more when we're together. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I mean, it's gone viral, the number of people all through the country at all the different venues. And I'm just very proud of what our city is doing and putting out in the rest of the world.
I was very impressed, actually, with the standing with Standing Rock movement's emphasis on the positive and their actual refusal to characterize themselves as protesters, mm-hmm. and calling themselves water protectors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sort of wondering whether there's that same kind of spirit abroad in organizing for this.
Certainly it is with everybody I've talked to and the websites I read. I think that is. I think it is a
march. Yeah.
We're starting to gather more people here. And
yeah, we're here sort of at the front end of an organizing meeting for...
Now the rest of the meeting is arriving. So.
Oh, let me add something. This, the march in the United States, the march in Washington, D.C., and the march in Seattle, and the march in Port Townsend, and there's a march in Coopville as well. But it's and every practically every state will, and every major city in every state will have a march. And there are over 15 marches in Europe and in South America. And it's just incredible how women, not just in the United States, but all over the world, are marching.
And men as well, as
and
I said.
That was the point I was going to make. It's not about what gender you are. Yeah. And I am thrilled. I can go to D.C. I've got the time. I've got the health. I can find the money. And I'm thrilled that there are marches in major cities, which is where my husband will go because he does have some health issues. And I'm thrilled they're here in Port Townsend and Coopville. I think it's wonderful to have that kind of scope.
I appreciate the testosterone that our brothers are bringing to the movement. That it'll vitalize us even further if that as even if blah, 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 enough.
You are editing this, right? Yeah,
there will be some editing going on.
One more thing, though, maybe Nan could talk about, or one of you. We are trying to raise money for people that want to go to Washington but can't afford to. So, do you know about that?
Sure, I do. We've got three young people that we've so far been able to arrange to go to Washington, D.C. The cost of airfare is extraordinary. We've gotten enough money to get three people into, across the country, and they've found places to stay with friends and family and friends and couch surfing, I suppose, and a little bit of walking around money. The contact for that, if anyone is interested in providing more help, is you can contact Michelle Sandoval.
Okay. I guess you don't have an email address for her, or do you?
Not off the top of my head, but I do think it was in the leader yesterday.
Oh.
Somebody's going to shake their head and say yes.
I'll
yeah.
Get that.
Yeah.
So we're sending buses to Seattle. As far as you know, is there any sort of carpooling or bus like heading all the way to Washington? I mean, is there any like local group organizing for that?
I'm unaware of that. I don't know. Do you know, Nan, if there is anything going?
I don't think there's an organized bus to go to D.C. That is a really long trip.
Yeah.
It's 3,000 miles.
Yeah. And it's winter. And it's it would be a harrowing trip. I think most of the people that are going to D.C., and I don't know what the count is, but it's over 30.
From Port Townsend.
From Port Townsend. It might verge as high as 40. But everyone has essentially found their own way there, and we have arranged to meet on the day of the march at one place so we at least can start off together.
Did you have any trouble getting reservations? I mean, I imagine that you're flying out of Seattle, right?
I'm flying out of Seattle via Raleigh to D.C.
Oh.
That was me wanting mostly to avoid Chicago in January. It's expensive, and it was hard to find flights. I bought them fairly early. I'm sure now it would be even more so. And that's why it's so important to help these young people be able to buy those tickets, because that's the biggest hurdle.
I want to pivot this into Amelia's meeting, but the last thing I want to say is we've all made reference to the spirit. It's not only the can-do empowerment spirit. It also goes back to go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. And here's Amelia.
All right. Well, thank you all very much.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
If you wish to help sponsor some of the young people to get to the Washington March, you can contact Michelle Sandoval at sandoval@olympus.net. That's sandoval@olympus.net. With Amelia D'Souza, Sheila Kolov, Nan Evans, and Marcia Pearlstein, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans and Marcia Pearlstein, who had this to say about KPTZ's program director, Larry Stein.
Super Bro is our program manager, Larry Stein, who makes everything possible, never hears an idea that he doesn't think is worth trying, and is one of the great supporters of the Women's March, women in general, women in particular, and all the folks at KPTZ, our ragtag bunch of people that puts all this stuff together.
The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans. Thank you.